Hi, it's Hannah Berner.
And Des Bishop.
Thanks for calling the Berner phone.
If you leave a message after the tone,
we may have to make it into a podcast.
Started?
It started.
Oh my God.
The new year has begun.
The new year has started.
Happy New Year, dialers.
Happy New Year to the dialers. This last week is so annoying.
2024.
Because this last week, it's like, are we working? Are we resting? Are we doing the work that we couldn't do because we were working too hard and then getting mad at ourselves for working? Are we sleeping? Are we partying? What were we supposed to do? I don't know. And I just forgot what I did all week.
Well, you were supposed to party and relax and just sort of spend time with family, but you ended up wanting to get back to work immediately.
Well, we have a little secret project we're working on with Giggly Squad.
Can I point out to the dialers that Hannah was not really aware that January 1st is a public holiday. She had a ferocious frustration that nobody was doing anything on January 1st.
Well, I Googled, is it a public holiday? And something said, like, some people and some people don't. And then I was like, no one's fucking emailing me. And it was like 2 p.m. And I was like, is everyone lazy today or what?
Like, you don't have to pay the meter. I mean, that's always a sign that it's a real public holiday in New York.
So anyway, the problem is, like, I never know what day it is because my job is so weird, if you want to call it a job. So anyway, we're back in action.
Now we're properly back in action. Chris is back after a few days away.
hello.
So,
and we got very inspired by the last episode about someone mentioning power moves. And our ears perked up because, look, we love power. There's one thing we love is power.
And we definitely love a good prompt.
I actually know a power move, but I'm really bad at it.
And what's that?
To not speak.
Oh, right.
Like, I heard in a negotiation, the first person who speaks loses. And the second I heard that, I was like, holy shit, I've lost every conversation I've ever had.
Yeah, but you're confusing a conversation and a negotiation.
But, like, negotiation, too, or, like, when you're trying to figure something out, I'm the first, the second there's, like, a little air, I'd be like, oh, don't worry about it, it's fine. I'm also a people pleaser, so, like, it just doesn't work where even if someone asks you a question, just, like, waiting a couple seconds before you answer is, like, mysterious and strong. And, like, I would love to be that strong, quiet person in the corner of the room. And yeah. I never will be, but
there's a huge contradiction in what you've just said, which is if you were that person, you wouldn't be the person in front of the camera, most likely be behind the camera or behind the person that's behind the camera negotiating their deals.
That's why I'm not allowed to negotiate deals. I'm not involved with business.
Yes.
I'm strictly a loud clown.
So it says that a power move is any action that alters the social power dynamics.
Mm.
Okay? Power moves intend to be concentrated displays of power. They can be intellectual power moves, quips, well-placed jokes, or perfect rebuttals that display mental superiority, or at least wins the debate. Negotiation power moves, which you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Raw muscle power moves, displays of power to show that if worse gets to worse, you win the fight or war. So in other words, basically, I'll kick your fucking ass.
That was very Queens coded.
Yeah, status power moves, displays of higher rank within a hierarchical structure, a social group, or generally within society.
Oh, like in a cult, how like the head person wears like a red, you know, drapery over their outfit and everyone else wears yellow.
Yeah, or like within a corporation or within a group of people, people know who's more important, so they sort of
Wearing a Prada jacket.
They show deference.
Yes.
The people show deference. And the final one is social power moves, anything that displays higher confidence, higher self-esteem, higher social skills, and mastery of social power dynamics.
A lot of women talk about, like, in the boardroom, ways to appear more confident, and they have, like, power poses, which is like standing up and putting both your hands on your hips, which seems a little like Power Rangers-y. But I also heard about like when two people are talking, you tend to like copy the behavior. Like if someone's leaning in, the other person leans in. If someone's leaning back, they lean back. If someone has their arms folded, you fold. And maybe the person who is copying the other person's poses is the less powerful one.
Interesting, because that's in NLP, neurolinguistic programming, they call that mirroring. Tony Robbins talks about that. However, he talks about it in the sense of it's a strong negotiating tactic because you actually make the person you're mirroring more comfortable. Mm. You make them feel like you're in symbiosis, which gives you a negotiating advantage.
Now, this is the thing. If you could just read a book and be like the ultimate, most powerful, best at negotiating person based on all these tricks, like I feel like everyone would do it. I feel like you could do all these moves and it still fucks up.
Well, actually, I think a lot of power moves come from the insecure, actually. Mm. I feel that often the feeling of a necessity of a power move actually comes from a place of insecurity in yourself. Mm. Not always, though, mm-hmm. because we had a lot of women that messaged in talking about trying to change dynamics where men were probably trying to express their physical dominance or certainly their perceived hierarchical dominance based on the patriarchy or traditional values. So that came in quite a bit. People trying to sort of snap that.
And I do think if you are insecure and you know of some of these power moves, they could give you a sense of like, I'm going to get in control, because it gives you a little bit of guidance. That little power move might make you overall feel more confident in the experience.
Yeah. We didn't get a lot of physical
stuff.
We didn't, which I expected to get a few of them. Other than, well, they'll come up, so I don't even need to say.
Yeah. But, someone said, like, on Shark Tank, Kevin O'Leary, like, puts his hands in, like, a triangle, and it's, like, a very powerful thing.
But, like, also, like, when you're on TV, like, you have to know what to do with your hands.
Yeah.
So he probably had like some nervous acting coach that was like, listen, if you don't know what to do with your hands, just put them in a triangle. And then people were like, look, it's the Illuminati. Yeah. It's the triangle of the Illuminati.
Let's see the power from the dialer.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Des. So my power move is not appropriate for the workplace, but in most other contexts, you're good to go. And that is just cry. If you are particularly a hot young woman, just cry. It has gotten me out of tickets. It has gotten me onto planes I was not supposed to be on. Okay? So I'm just telling you, like, put that sensitivity to work and make it work for you. Because I'm a little sensitive girly and I cry in many situations anyway. So I kind of just, you know, use it to my advantage. And people really, like, they want to make you feel better. So, yep. That's a power move. Again, not for the workplace. Bye.
It's so funny she said the plane thing, because the one place I cry the most is the airport.
And it's never worked for you.
And it's never worked for me.
I thought of
I'll
that.
I'll be like, ah! They're just like, no, I have cried once where I was like, I missed a flight and it wasn't my fault because of the connection. And I had to go to Connecticut, which is 4 hours, and it was going to be like a 30-minute flight. And I was like, so I have to Uber now to get there, and I have a show in like 5 hours, and I cried, and then they were like, let's talk to our manager because sometimes we'll offer a coupon if it was our fault. And I just was like, couldn't stop crying, and they gave it to me, and I'm like, okay.
Well, so you got a coupon.
I got a coupon.
This was
so funny.
This was my favorite. That's why I put it first.
It's funny because I just saw a Matteo Lane clip on Instagram where he talks about this woman who has an Italian mom. No, Italian mother-in-law that she doesn't know how to deal with. And he says, like, she's...
No, she says, yeah, any advice on how to deal with the Italian mother-in-law? And he goes, break up with him.
But then he's like, you're Italian too. You got to, like, step it up and, like, fight with her. And she goes, when I call her out and fight with her, she cries. And he goes, cry back.
It is true, though, the crying. It's where do you go with the crying?
I do have to say, in a relationship, once the cry starts, it takes the argument in a whole different direction.
Yeah, Dylan Moran, a great Irish comedian, has a bit about, you know, the cry when your wife starts to cry. And he goes, I just want to say for the record that crying does not prove that you have a greater capacity to feel. It shows that you have a greater capacity to cry, which is very important. Very important to know.
But like, if you realize you're losing an argument, cry.
Yeah.
Yesterday I just started crying about something randomly and you were like, I don't understand why you're crying about this.
Oh yeah, but that was not like in an art. That was like, we're talking about like stuff related to my career and like the most, we're not going to get into the details of it, but it was like it was all very positive, but somehow you perceived it as like a very difficult moment for me. You know?
And I imagined it and I started crying for you. And you were like, why are you upset about this? This is a good conversation.
Yeah, but I mean, it was an odd place to cry, but you just got in your period and you admitted that may have had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that wasn't like a...
I think it's a power move, speaking of female hormones, to like do something really cunty and then just say like, sorry, I'm PMSing.
That's a good... Yeah.
Then he can't say shit.
Well, more often than not, he's probably going to be relieved.
I don't identify as what I just said. That is coming from a monster within me that's going to be around for a couple more days. And at first, I was very anti-PMS. I'm like, stop saying that women's PMS. But we have to normalize that, like, some weeks we are short and things piss us off easier. And then some weeks, I'm a fucking superstar. Like, I'm like... empathetic and listening and problem solving. Like, it's just, that's the flow of being a woman. And that's why we have to sleep more.
Yeah. I think the understanding of the hormonal cycle can really help
relationships.
Yes. Can help relationships.
We honestly you can like fight less during PMS when you're just aware that it's happening. But I do think it's a power move. You could say like, the most fucked up thing. Just be like, sorry, I'm PMSing.
which is fine.
Like, go fight with my PMS. You're not even fighting with me right now. I'm not even going to remember this in a week. I'm blackout right now.
Well, we won't. I'm always hesitant to speak too much on this topic because it's not a male's area of expertise. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is a time where the power move for men is to just stay silent.
Mm.
I think.
I agree.
Do you think that crying thing works for men?
You know what? I think on the flip side of all this crying stuff, which doesn't get talked about enough, is that there's a lot of talk about men needing to be in touch with their emotions, but actually I still think there's a lot of shaming from both men and women
mm-hmm.
when men actually cry.
Mm-hmm.
So when men actually cry, both sides of, but like a lot of people still have their own sort of internal judgments about emotional men.
Maybe because the stereotype that hormonally it's so much easier for women to cry. So when a man cries easily, everyone just gets like a little uncomfy.
I mean, it's okay. It's totally fine. I mean, the whole concept of toxic masculinity, it didn't come out of nowhere. It's been around like forever. So
we're going to just have to do a social experiment. Chris, next time you miss your flight and you're trying to get on it, cry and let us know what they do.
I got it.
Yeah.
It's
a very good question though, Chris.
There is a natural, and I don't mean a stereotype, but I feel like men go to anger first, where women go to sadness first.
Perhaps.
Men go to force, and women go to sadness.
Yeah, and when men go to sadness, it makes people uncomfortable in a different way than when a woman goes to sadness, perhaps in relation to Chris's question.
Perhaps.
But it's, you know, honestly, it's all just conjecture.
But I love when guys cry, like, in... movie theaters, like when you cry watching a TV show.
Oh yeah, but I'll drop a cry.
I
love crying in the appropriate crying settings.
But like when you're breaking up with a guy and he starts crying, you're just like, this is not helping.
I had a bit from 2009. I had this bit from a show I did about how I cried when Barack Obama was elected. And, you know, people say, oh, you cry like a girl. I was like, no, I didn't cry like a girl. I cried like a man. You know, I was like, you know, sometimes when you cry at a sporting event,
mm-hmm.
people say, oh, I was crying like a girl. It's like, no, you weren't crying like a girl. Because first of all, girls don't cry at sporting events. Men do. You're crying like a man.
Sports makes me cry. I mean, I've never cried more than playing sports.
You're playing.
I cry like any kind of sports documentary. Like when someone hits a three at the winning, you know, buzzer, I'm like, the dreams come true and their dad's proud of them.
Yeah, I mean, I've cried at 75% of winning major speeches.
The Olympics, everyone's crying the whole time. I can't watch one. I could watch a person shooting archery. I didn't know that was a sport, and I cry for them.
You'll
when they
cry
win
for
it.
Them?
When anyone accomplishes like a dream, I'm just like, oh, yeah.
Look at the bullseye.
She killed something. But I do want to normalize men crying more. I just think there's a difference between like being a whiny, annoying.
you just literally went to the place I was trying to articulate. You've articulated it so much better.
You can cry, just don't be a little bitch
about it. Don't be a little bitch about it. Like literally, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I have fucking sexy man tears.
Yeah. Cry at a fucking like a macho time. Don't be crying at a fucking pussy time.
I'm just, we all know what Paige would say if she was.
Well, let's just say Paige is not on the barometer of modern masculinity. Let's put it that way. But anyway, we get jammed
I think
up,
it's a red flag if he cries too much, but it's a red flag if he never cries. Let's normalize us all crying a little bit.
Let's just not put any judgments down on crying, unless you are crying on demand to use to as a manipulation tactic in a negotiation. But I think that her power move it was hilarious and it was perfect.
I'm just imagining me being like, oh, I'm going out to dinner with my friends tonight. And then looking over and you're just like, I'm like, what? And you're like, I thought we were going to hang out tonight. I don't know how I would feel about that.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't feel good because that would be very strange.
I know. So,
I mean, that's not going to happen.
I'm working on a new bit in my like shower sex routine where I'm like, I don't want to have sex in the shower. I want it to be for like where you just like can like bloat and like cry and like no one could tell you're crying. And I feel like more guys should cry in the shower because if you're in it for a while, your guy friends are like, what are you doing in there for so long? And you're like jerking off, duh. And like if more guys cried, less guys would shoot things.
I mean, there's probably some science in there.
I think there's some science.
Well, that was my I was going to say it before, but I didn't say it because you know you could get jammed up on this topic. You know what I mean? But I was saying to you that I think there's some humor in the fact that men criticize women for getting hormonal during PMS.
Yeah.
Right. But what people don't like to talk about is that men get hormonal too, mm-hmm. but the male hormone is a lot more dangerous.
Yeah.
So when men get hormonal, they fucking kill people. So the next
Pick
time
your
you,
poison.
Next time you complain about your fucking wife getting upset over a fucking bowl being left in the sink, just think that your version of getting out of control is, I'm not saying you're going to kill somebody, but you fucking could.
That's why walls get punched. That's why walls get punched.
Yeah, but and that's why I think but see, then the problem is you get into testosterone control and then you're just into a minefield.
You're
into a big minefield.
But the hormone stuff is fascinating and we are not scientists, so we don't we don't know anything we just said.
And we're workshopping material.
We're workshopping
I think we're safe,
material.
Right?
I think we're safe. Yeah.
Chris, would you say we're safe? No, I'm saying this is a safe space. Once it's out there in the ether, the safe space
No
disappears.
Flag on the play.
No flag. Okay. No flag on the play. Chris, let's take another one.
Hi, Hannah and Des. No notes. Love everything you're doing. Bucket list is to see you sometime live. Would love for that to happen.
Mm.
My power move when I used to be on the dating scene was that I would actually pay for the entire bill on the first date. And this shouldn't be as taboo as it is, but guys were usually pretty taken aback by this. And it worked. Like, they would talk about it for months on end. They were just really surprised by it. And they would say typically girls are expecting them to pay. So they just really liked that courtesy. So yeah, show them who's boss and pay for that first bill, ladies.
Chris, why are you nodding?
Marriage. That's marriage right there. That's beautiful. I've never even heard of that.
Oh, really?
Because that's awesome.
It actually came in a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought it was very interesting because that is really, it's not just a power move, but it is genuinely a social experiment, you know? And you really, I feel like with this, you could weed out a lot of men that are uncomfortable with any power dynamic shift because some men will not be comfortable with that.
Yeah. So many things come to mind.
Okay, go ahead.
First, if I'm paying for the date, normally it means I did not enjoy the date and I don't want him to feel for any reason like I owe him anything. And I'll be like, we're splitting the check. Please, let's split this check. Please.
Oh, no. She didn't say split the check.
Or let me pay for it. True. Let me pay for it is more like,
no,
you're going down on me tonight, bitch.
She's saying pay for it. She's saying I'm paying for
My thing is like, if he can show the courtesy in the first couple dates, I'll spoil you for life, baby. I'll be your sugar mama. But like, I just want to see in the beginning that he at least is willing, considering, you know, of the wage gap.
I think that that's the normal consensus. Mm-hmm. What I like about what she's saying is this is her power move. This is her way of saying, just so you know, like, we're on an equal footing and there's absolutely no reason for me to not pay.
I would do it second date. I would have him do the first date and then second date. What would you do with first date?
Well, it would all
I paid.
It would all depend on like
I'm awkward. I don't know how I would deal with that. Like, I could see being like a
wait for the guy to go to the bathroom. You pay. No, the trick there is to pay when he doesn't have a chance to go against you.
This is the thing. I feel like this girl is genius, but I do not. I feel like we're getting tricked. I feel like some of the girls are like, oh, wait, if I pay, then I get power. And the next thing you know, all the girls are playing for first dates. I feel like this is like
God forbid.
This is like a dad bod situation where suddenly we're like, we like dad bods. And then guys are just running around fat and everyone's like loving them. Like, I feel like this I get it. I love you. I'm scared for what this can become.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's
because the guy's like, the last girl paid, you didn't pay. No, but it's and not. Then they're on the tape fucking these. I'm an alpha and I let my girl pay. Ugh. Like if these podcasts.
At the end of the day, this isn't a call to arms. This is her power move.
But like, I could see a girl right now being like, wow, my dates have not been working. Maybe I should try this. And then it starts catching on. And then next thing you know, we're out here doing our nails, doing our hair, getting ready, putting ourselves in a place where we could possibly be murdered or worse. And then also paying the date. I can't put my head around it. And I am a feminist icon.
I understand. And this is very well said. Very well said. You asked me earlier, how would I feel if somebody paid? And it would all depend on how well the date went. Like if the date went really well and I was like, wow, there's a connection here. Mm-hmm. And then I came back from the bathroom and she'd paid the bill. I'd probably go like, cool. Very, you know, yeah, like I would find it interesting.
I see that. But it's also like, if you do have a lot of money, you also don't want him to use you for money.
I know. But like, here's the thing. The tradition is that the man pays. It comes from, it comes from thousands of years of, you know, and essentially her power move is I'm going to break from tradition because yeah. I'm not subscribing to the past.
Some people would argue it's a little pick me girl energy to be like, I'm not like other girls. They make you pay and I'm going to pay because I'm not like other girls.
I mean,
but
that's a judgment.
I know that was judgy.
That was judgy.
But I'm, but I'm also putting myself in her shoes. Like if she were to do that and then thinking of how guys feel, like if I had this whole meal and I just met this guy and he's kind of hot and I paid for all of it, I'd be like, are you going down on me tonight? Like I would feel like he should.
By the way, I've never let somebody pay on the first date. So I'm being a little hypocritical. But I've also never been in a situation where somebody tried. I've been in a situation where people tried to split it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't allow it. Or sorry, not that I wouldn't allow it, but I was just.
She's like, I really
want. You know, I was just like, I'd rather just pay. You know, I was like, listen, if we meet up again, you pay the next time, but there's no obligation. You know?
See, that's my thing. I like to pay second or third date. Des and I famously have a story.
Have you ever told that story?
Not recently. You could tell
it. The second date story?
Yeah. Was it the second date? It was the second date.
It was the second
so
date.
I like
Anna
to pay
keeps
for
being
the
in
second...
denial about how much happened on the second date.
The second date was wild. We did a lot of shit on the second date. We went golfing. Yeah. We did a lot.
You tell it.
But we stopped by a pizzeria.
You said you were hungry, so he said, let's get a slice of pizza.
So I like
at Tonino's Pizzeria in West Hampton.
My funny child, Tonino's. My funny thing is I like to be like, oh, no, but I'll just get like something really cheap, like a bagel, and be like, I got you. Like, it's obviously not even, but it's funny. Like, I'll get coffee the next day or something. So it's pizza, and I'm like, oh, like, I got this. Like, I got this for us. So it's like literally $4. I'm like, I got this. And I give the guy the credit card, and he looks at me, and I look at him, and in front of Des, I go, he always makes me pay. And in that moment, it is kind of a power move where you're fucking with him, and you get to see how comfortable he is with you kind of like keeping on his toes. And Des,
I thought it was hilarious.
Des started laughing hysterically because also it's like $4.
Yeah.
And it went over really well. And Des would like tell his friends about the story. And like now
you
we're
still
engaged.
Tell that story. I think I've told it on stage actually.
Yeah. So that was that. Honestly, that worked. I had a good little punchline for it. And it's a funny way to just play with the dynamic. So maybe that is my power move. To pay and then pretend that he forces you to pay
for a slice of pizza, for a $2.50 slice of pizza.
But this girl, thank you for...
By the way, the guy laughed too because he knew that it was a joke. I mean, it's a good joke.
Yeah, it's a funny joke. And I do think I do like paying a lot of the time because I don't like feeling indebted to anyone. I just don't want girls to start overthinking and being like, oh, if I pay, will it make him like me more and I'll be different?
Yeah, but I don't think that's not what's going on here. You don't have to take on, like all of
girldom.
Yeah, you don't have to take on all of girldom going on dates at this moment.
I know,
it's just a simple power move.
I get afraid
move.
That trends like trends spread like wildfire. Like one girl on TikTok is like, this works. And then all the girls are like, we need to pay for their college. We need to pay for all men's college.
I don't think that's going to happen. Chris, let's take another.
Hello. Okay, here's my power move. It's very easy. Whenever you are being introduced to somebody that you don't get a good vibe from, maybe they're a little too chummy with your man, or they just give off a bad vibe, what you can do is when they introduce themselves, just go, oh, that's my dog's name. And it just, I don't know, there's just something about it that gives you a little bit of power over
them. Oh my God, that is so fucking good.
So
holy mic drop.
I've done that, but not as a power move. I'm just like, it's just come out, you know?
Well, I joke that I like can't take people seriously who have like names that could be like labradoodle names, like Tucker and like
well,
all
our
stuff.
Current foster dog. Well, Aiden is looking after our foster dog. It's called Abby.
I think it's so funny when people are like, oh yeah, like Abby like shat in the bed and then I had to like, you know, clean her fucking butthole. Like, and it's funny when you don't know if they're talking about a human or not. That's a power move. Also, especially if people around you know you're lying, that's hilarious. Like you just say it in front and they know you're fucking with the person, especially if it's like, oh, Jennifer. Yeah, that's the name of like my guinea pig.
The problem is if it turns out that you were wrong and that they're really nice, then later on you have to be like, you know, I made a real bad judgment about you and you're really nice. So actually my dog's name is Fido. But
or I don't even have a dog. And then she'd be like, why would you do that? It's like, it's my imaginary dog. I do have to say, speaking of girldom, the girlies aren't wrong though. Like, you know, when you get a vibe from someone, and Paige and I talk about it a lot, how like sometimes you can tell when someone is like a little too mushy with your guy and the guy will like not notice at all. Like he's like, yeah, they were nice. And you could tell that like the way like her voice changes, the way she's touching her hair, like the way she's caring about how you respond to things. Like we're like, we get like really aware of that kind of stuff.
Guys know that too, actually. There's been one or two actually with you and I've been like, yo, this guy's trying to fuck you. And you're like, no, but like, I was right.
They're just my friends, babe. We were recently talking about that dynamic and you said something really smart, which is like, when sometimes it's easy to be like, oh yeah, like girls can be more like more complex relationships. Like you have really strong relationships, but sometimes there could be drama and stuff. And that's why sometimes girls would be like, I always get along better with guys. And it's like, yeah, because the guys want to fuck you. Nothing goes smoother than a conversation with a man that wants to fuck you.
That's right. It's not gonna be the same level of challenge.
No,
because he's gonna agree with everything you say. He's gonna find all your jokes funny.
You can do nothing wrong. You can literally show up 8 hours late to a hang, and he'll kiss your toe and be like, "Thank you so much for coming."
Yeah, hot girls and rich men.
You could both punch him in the face.
Hot girls and rich men both have that that dynamic. It's like, wow, I'm so funny. It's like, are you?
But also, I like to be with someone that occasionally other people, you could tell they want to fuck them. I think that's just a nice little healthy jealousy.
Yeah, it's just a hard balance. It's a hard balance to when it's like, oh, that's cute. I can clearly tell that they fancy my man to watch it, bitch.
Yeah, and I think it's like them crossing the line where it's like, oh,
because it's disrespectful.
You don't have to like, don't touch my man's arm when you're laughing. Like, that's a little too much for me.
That's the contact.
Yeah, I don't like, because that's like what you would do on a first date. Or like, if I do feel like if you're, don't have like inside jokes with someone's man.
Anyway, did we cover that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the holidays are over and I haven't had a vegetable in a very long time. I also haven't been drinking a lot of water because I think water is boring and I don't like salads. But I do love a juice cleanse. My favorite juice company is called Squeeze.com. SQUEEZED.com. Again, some bad habits. You know, I order a lot of late night takeout after stand-up shows, and I feel really gross after traveling a lot of the time. And I don't always have time to do hip-hop yoga to feel my best. And that's why I love a Squeeze.com juice cleanse. It's so fresh and so good, and it feels like I'm detoxing my whole body. It helps with bloat, clearing skin, increases energy, helps with sleep, and breaks bad eating habits. It also sometimes feels really good on my sinuses. And overall, I feel like a hydrated queen. The best part is they have same-day local delivery or free fast delivery nationwide with code BURN, B-E-R-N. So check out squeezed.com for a delicious juice cleanse delivered to you. We're focusing on getting healthier in the new year, and I am still ordering takeout at night. However, I just discovered Hungry Root. It is rescuing me from short-lived resolutions by making meal planning easy and nutritious. It sounds like admin that I can handle. It's the easiest way to get fresh, high-quality food delivered to your door. They have healthy groceries and simple recipes all in one place. I am terrible at grocery shopping on my own. I will just like buy all these things that don't work together, and I would never put in a meal together, and then they all end up going bad, and then I feel a shame spiral because I couldn't handle a basic task of buying myself food and cooking it. But you take a fun short quiz. I love a short little quiz on Hungry Root, and they get to know you, your goals, and how you want to eat. They ask what flavors you like, what kitchen appliances you use, and they really customize your cart for you with delicious recipes and grocery needs for the week. I'm obsessed. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat, seafood, pantry staples, healthy snacks and sweets, and much more. I'm really into chicken right now. And I also love actually getting avocado and it not going bad because I planned it out with Hungry Root. I also like to try different organic snacks because I like to always have a snack on me in case I get hungry. I have like a fear that I'm going to be hungry, but I sometimes get unhealthy snacks, and Hungry Root really gives me options that are actually good for me. Spend less time meal planning, shopping, and cooking, and more time enjoying healthy food that you'll actually love with Hungry Root. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Burner Phone listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Free veggies for life. Go to hungryroot.com/burner to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. Guys, this is important. I think the universe is like, okay, time to have some broccoli. That's hungryroot.com/burner, B-E-R-N-E-R. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
All right, let's go to the videotape.
Hi, Hannah. Hi, Daz. My name's Maria, and I'm a teacher. And something I've done in nearly every interview I've been a part of is where it gets to that point in the interview when they ask you to ask them questions.
Oh, I hate that part.
Something I always try to ask is there anything about this interview or about me that you're still wondering about,
oh,
or anything that's giving
question.
You pause that I could clear up for you?
Oh, that's such
I feel
a
like
question.
That's such a power move because A, they're usually not expecting a question like that, and B, it gives you an opportunity to clear up anything that might be keeping you from getting that job. And another power move I use in my job is, girl, ask for help. Like, it shows confidence, weirdly enough, when you know your limitations and you know when you need to ask for help and you're using your resources. And I just feel like it's a power move. You know, if somebody's asking you to do something, you're like, I don't have as much experience in that. I would love to see that modeled. Would you mind coming in and showing me how to do that? Like, ask for help. That's the power move. That's it.
Dude, this girl's a fucking genius.
Life coach, right?
She needs to have a fucking TED Talk.
Seriously.
So many thoughts. First of all, I find the smartest people are the ones who ask the most questions. And when someone asks you like a question about something, you realize they actually like know more than you thought they knew. Like when someone doesn't ask any questions, I sometimes assume like they don't even fucking know what's going on. And it is confident to be like, I'm showing you what I don't know because I actually like know a lot.
Yeah, or even just to say, sorry, I didn't understand what you were just saying.
Yeah. I also think the first one that she said, what did she say?
She said, I like when they say, do you have any questions?
Yes.
I say, is there anything that I can sort of clarify about what we talked about? Or was there anything unclear that you want to follow up on with me?
So I do think I like first dates. I like interviews. I love like the first kind of, I was telling Paige how I was always like the new kid at school. So I love a first impression. I'm like pretty comfortable in it. But I'm so focused on that first impression that then when they ask if I have questions, I always fuck it up. And for some reason, the question that always comes in my head, I always want to be like, Do you think an orange is a fruit or a color? And I shouldn't say
that. Jesus.
And it's like an intrusive thought that I'm like, ask him this question. But
What kind of response are you expecting?
I just know that I shouldn't ask it. And I'm like, ask the question. It's so funny. But I do think what she did is a really good sales tactic. And it's honestly the best thing I ever learned from doing cold calling sales was, instead of trying to sell yourself to someone, ask them what they're looking for and then just tell them how you're going to do it. Because that person's sitting there, obviously, and you can't read their mind, a problem they need solved. So just ask them it. And when they tell you it, you solve it. And then they literally, like, A plus B, you are C. Like, they can't get around it.
Because I wonder what people think is the right thing to ask, because this is a very good advice.
Because
at the end of the day,
they don't tell you a lot of good questions. And they almost, when you say, oh, I don't have any questions, they almost look at you like, oh, like, oh, you, yeah, failed.
I mean, I've never done like a traditional job interview. I've never done a traditional job interview in my life. So,
oh my
this
God.
Is all fascinating.
I want to like put you in situations that you've never done.
I mean, I've been in, I did do a full documentary about living on minimum wage, and I worked four different jobs. I mean, I've been put in situations.
Yeah, but they just gave you those jobs.
Yeah, I know. But I haven't had to go for like a serious job interview.
I'm going to ask you a job question that they always ask.
Okay.
What do you think is—
By the way, how many job interviews have you gone on?
A lot.
How many? Just out of curiosity.
Well, when I was first trying to get a job, I had probably like 4, 5, I don't know, like 10.
Really? Over. Wow. Cool. I mean, I've gone on job interviews for like waiter jobs and stuff, though, but like—
I've done like marketing.
Right.
Like,
so these are like career jobs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like from 20 to 25, I did like a ton of interviews. Also,
what's the job interview question?
What is your biggest weakness?
Oh, I'm so obsessed with work that sometimes it affects my family life. Yeah, but that's the stereotypical.
I'm so obsessed with work, I think my wife wants a divorce. Yeah. You get too personal with it.
Yeah.
And sometimes
I have
trouble.
That means that she's going to want half my stuff, which means I'm going to have to work three times as hard here to just make as much money as possible for me and for the company. I've never had a situation where I was nervous about a job interview, but obviously I have gone on auditions. I've been in plenty of nervous in the room situations.
What I find is a lot of it is like, if you vibe with them, that's great.
But I do feel like we've given perhaps some of the job-seeking dialers some good advice for the interview.
For sure. That girl,
that's good life advice,
that girl's
too.
Great. Yeah. That was really good.
We would like more dials from you.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes I don't know if people have like, have we used the same people numerous times? I don't even know.
I know. Maybe we'll start recognizing them. Like,
yeah.
Well, you that's
have to
Sarah.
Start being in like Sarah from Indianapolis.
Or give yourself a nickname. Be it's, you know, Silly Sarah.
Yeah, we're going to end up with the Whack Pack. The Howard Stern used to have all these crazy people. Anyway.
Hey, it's Steve from Queens.
Hi, Hannah and Des. So my power move in all situations that bug me, most particularly arguments with my mother, I just go ahead and agree with them. So anytime anyone says anything that's going to get under my skin, I just say, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. I don't have to come up with an argument back. I don't have to say something that's going to win the argument. It just pisses them off even more because they think they're going to piss me off. And then I just agree. And they're left sitting there like, what the fuck do I say? So anytime your partner just says something annoying, or your mother, just say, yeah, you're right, I guess. And that's it. And then they literally don't know what to say.
So passive aggressive.
It's very passive.
And then they get even madder and you're like, no, yeah, for sure.
I mean, this is good advice, except for situations where
you're trying to solve something.
Yeah, something needs to be resolved.
Actually, this reminds me of something I saw on TikTok, which said like, when someone says something kind of rude to you in a social setting, the best thing to do is ask them to repeat it.
Oh, that may actually be on the way.
It was like a thing going around on TikTok.
All right, because it came up a lot.
They basically,
I think,
were
one
like,
of them is in there though.
If someone was like, yeah, Hannah, like maybe if you got a real job, and if I sat there and we're in front of a group and I could tell they're being kind of a dick, and I just go very earnestly, sorry, what did you say? And then they have to go, maybe if you had a real job. It sounds like so, and then you go, okay, like you don't react.
Yeah, somebody messaged in to say that 9 times out of 10 they'll rephrase it. They'll reword it, or they'll take.
There
some
are like
of the,
multiple times in my life I wish I did that instead of A, reacting, or B, just like laughing it off to make them feel comfortable.
I just had a funny thought about how because I did that joke about, would you go back in time and kill Hitler as a baby? But like people always said, like, would you go back in time and do, you know, what would you do? Odds on, I'd say most people that go back in time is like, there was this time that somebody said this to me and an hour later I thought of a great retort. Yes. I'd like to go back and have the chance to give the proper retort.
Oh, I have a whole list of things that I wish I said or did.
I know.
Or didn't do.
Or didn't do, yeah.
Or didn't do. But also at the end of the day, like, if you just like, as long as you're not too reactive and you're just yourself, like, fuck those little comments of what people said.
But in relation to this, I do think this is actually, this is good advice in a situation where you are dealing with somebody's like irrational aggression.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, in other words, like nothing's going to be solved by actually having this argument.
It actually solves it by being like, it doesn't add, like you're not like, I mean, you are angering them, but you're not like adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah, like I don't think it's passive aggressive if you're basically trying to diffuse the situation. I think it is passive aggressive if you're trying to annoy them.
Yeah, like if you're like, oh yeah, totally. Yeah, you're so right. I do think also—
But it's good though that it gives you a chance to get at—
I'm trying to get to the bottom of something and someone starts being like, yeah, no, you're right— I actually, it might make me want to hear them out more because then I'm like, okay, now we're not debating and you're just like giving up. Like I actually do want to come to like a solution in this.
Yes. But it also gives you a chance to sort of get away temporarily without like storming off.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just have to disconnect, right? Sometimes it's just not going to be resolved in the energy of the moment.
Especially like if you're at a dinner or something and you can't run off.
So that's, you know, I think it's a good power move, but I think it can be abused.
Yeah. There's nuances for sure.
For 100% for sure. And of course, sometimes power moves are unnecessary and you choose to use one, which could be perceived as aggression.
But also being like super calm when someone is yelling at you or upset is like such a power move.
Oh,
or
yes.
Like speaking really quietly when they're yelling is a power move.
Yes, 100%. Please, Chris, we'll take another one.
Hey, Hannah. Hey, Des. Love the podcast. So my power move is saying thank you when someone apologizes rather than saying, oh my gosh, it's totally fine. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Also came up a few times, by the way.
Wait, late practice. Des, I'm so sorry that I was late today.
Thank you. I mean, I don't know if that's the situation.
I'm so sorry. No, I know. I know what she's saying, that like when they finally do apologize for something, you just say thanks.
No, it's awesome because here's the thing about an apology, right? You're basically, you're letting people know that you have guilt or, you know, you're letting people know that you're sorry for this thing. But more often than not, you want people to make you feel better.
Yeah.
But it's not a requirement.
No.
From them.
And if someone says sorry, then you're supposed to say like, no worries, which basically means you're fine, you're off the leash. But instead you should say, thank you. Like I take your apology and it doesn't negate what you did.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, we forgive and we don't forget.
Yeah. Well, you know, but it also doesn't imply that there is no forgiveness. It's still, you're saying thank you, which implies forgiveness, but you're also like not letting them off the hook, which is a power move, which is fine.
Nice. Yeah. Like it's not that you haven't forgiven them, but it's like they don't immediately deserve that like you're good, we're all good, you're fine type of thing.
However, sometimes an apology when it comes from an argument, there's usually two sides.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say thank you, that could potentially leave the argument unresolved.
Yeah,
and that's like, not all the time. I'm not saying it's always a 50-50, but a lot of times—
Sometimes you're both in the wrong.
Or you're both, 100%.
Or there's three sides to every story, and it's like, I'm sorry. It's like, you know what, I'm sorry too, and that's a beautiful moment. But if someone says I'm sorry, and I think I say I appreciate that thank you. I appreciate that. I'd like saying that.
Yeah. Appreciate that thank you feels less abrupt than thank you. But I like it. I like it. It'll be worth a shot.
We say sorry a lot. I feel like we say sorry like 10 times a day to each other.
Really?
I say sorry a lot. I've never said sorry more in a relationship than with you.
What? Because we've been together.
We're married.
Yeah, we're married.
You got to make, you know, sacrifices.
I promise you, I didn't grow up with a lot of sorry. I didn't grow up with a lot of sorries coming from the people that... That taught me how to live my life.
I will throw sorry around like a fucking cupcake. Is that a saying? No. I throw sorries around. I'm like, I'm quick to see, like, you know what? Valid point. Sorry. And maybe as women, we shouldn't say sorry so much, but gets me out of a lot of situations.
My mother, like, she wouldn't admit that she was wrong, but like, the situation would just get resolved.
Yeah.
But like, you might bring it up a couple of days later, like, what about that thing? And she'd be like, you're still going on about that? like you know, time has passed. That's over.
That's very light gaslighting to be like, you're fucking crazy. You're still talking about this, you weirdo.
Trust me. There was a lot of gaslighting in our childhood. We didn't have the term for it. But there was definitely a lot of gaslighting making us feel like we were the crazy ones. But anyway, you still, come on, that was 3 days ago.
Hey, Hannah. Hey, Zaddy Des, calling from Boston. Big fan. Hannah, I saw you here last year. Please come and do a performance together. I would literally die.
Oh, my God.
My power move is not texting first. Mm. I realized that I was always reaching out to people, checking in, making plans first, and I stopped doing that about a year and a half ago and watched my friends just drop off like little flies, realized I didn't need any of them, same in my dating life. So yeah, whether it be trying to find a man, trying to make friends, coworkers, whatever it may be, stop texting first. If they don't text you first, you don't need to talk to them.
Interesting.
It's very interesting. I feel like there's a lot of variables to this.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely had friendships where I feel like I would text first because, like, we're both insecure about, like, if we want to be friends with each other. So, like, there comes with a balance. Like, you can't just be like, oh, like, this person deserves to text me all the time. And over time, if you feel like they're pulling back and you're putting in more effort, I could see you deciding, like, I'm not going to text them unless they text me. And same with guys. Like, if you feel like he's, like, not that interested, it's like, okay, well, he'll hit me up if he's interested. Otherwise, I'm not going to force this.
Yeah, there's certain dynamics where there comes a time where you have to stop, you know, being the instigator of conversation.
For sure. But I do think, like, I remember when we started dating, there was this nice feeling of, like, I never thought I'm going to wait for him to text me. Like, I would take pride in being like, I'm going to text him because I am excited to text him, and we're not keeping track because it hasn't. That's not the vibe I've been getting, though.
No, we didn't. That dynamic was never established. And I've been in those situations. And I've been in both where somebody's playing it cool, mm-hmm. but that passes, mm-hmm. which is just their way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also been in that situation where you end up, like, I guess kind of in the ghost zone, but you're quite infatuated. So you lean in for a while, but eventually you have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And 50% of the time, you never hear from them again. 50% of the time, they eventually go, oh, I better step up.
I realized what my power move was with dating.
Right. What was your power move?
I would call him. Like, if I just felt like talking, I'd call him. And if the vibes were there and, like, we loved talking on the phone, I was like, I like him. But if he was weird or, like, couldn't handle a phone call, I'd be like, I knew it wasn't the right thing.
But Katie and I, we had an episode about, I guess it was about, like, first dates or something. And a lot of people were concerned about, you know, just like how bad it is when you're on a first date.
Mm-hmm.
And they're horrible and you're just stuck,
mm-hmm.
you know, having to talk to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I said the way to weed out the really bad ones is to call them first before you meet up, because you can tell a lot from a phone conversation.
No, I was I've, like, gotten infatuated with someone over text before, and we texted for like a week, and I was like, this is my man. And like, the second he walked in the bar, I was like, I've never been more turned off in my life. Like, I made everything up in my head from text messages. And if I had FaceTimed him once or called him once, I would have known.
Yeah. Calling is a great way. Calling is a very good weeding out exercise.
So then you, like, just slowly ghost them after if you're not vibing? Because I feel like it's weird to be like, let's have a call.
No.
And if it goes well, you get a date with me. And if it doesn't, I hang up on you.
No, you just go like, hey, you want to chat? You know?
Yeah.
And then you just talk. It's a huge,
true.
Like, it's a great way to get, you know, you're not going to learn everything.
Yeah.
But you're certainly going to learn if you have any connection at all.
Yeah, because you can know in the first 5 seconds, you're like, fuck, we just ordered appetizers. This is going to go long.
Fucking torture.
This is going to be so long.
My other advice was, first date, particularly on like a swipe, where you have limited information. First date is always coffee in the afternoon or immediately after work. Like, yeah. You can't
go out of your way for something.
Can't do dinner, man, because dinner, you're stuck.
But I do love playing games. I do admit, in terms of the text stuff, it's like, if you're going to fucking spend 3 hours to respond to me, I'm not fucking responding in a minute. That's just not the way we're playing, okay? And whatever pain you cause me, I will cause that to you. And that's how I live my life for a long time.
Yeah, there's nothing like that adversarial, the adversarial development of a relationship. It's like, oh, you fucking 90-seconded me, motherfucker? Well, check this out. Here's 120, bitch.
I never really considered this a power move, especially because I'm someone that hates working so much. But in job interviews and in situations where I'm speaking to people who have authority over me, I, for some reason, give dead ass perfect eye contact. And I also shake hands like a man. I don't know what it is. It's solid. It's sturdy. It has gotten me hired at multiple customer service jobs. So if you're ever looking to get a dumb job where you have to talk to people all day, stare at your boss and shake his hand and you will get hired immediately. Thank you.
Okay.
Love you guys.
Love you, babe. This is fascinating. Because the thing with eye contact is you could look a little creepy if you do it wrong.
Yeah.
Like if your eyes are too wide or you're like too focused on making eye contact, or sometimes you ever like focus on someone's eyes too much that you're like too aware that you're staring at them.
Yeah. Somebody else messaged in and said, what I do in a situation where I feel like they're trying to dominate me is I look in between their eyes and a little higher. So they know that I'm staring at them, but there's something not quite right and it confuses them.
Oh my, that's a fucking power move.
That's a power move.
There's also this move that people talk about on TikTok, and I actually don't know if I'm getting it right, but it's like to make a guy fall in love with you, that when he's talking to you, you look at one eye, the other eye, down to his mouth, back up, down to his mouth and up, and you do a triangle with your eyes, which like could look like you're having a stroke.
Well, no, but it also just looks like you're getting horny. It kind of gives the impression of like,
yeah, it's trying to be like,
you're suggesting like, oh, there's your lips. I'm interested in your lips.
I think my friends have told me that I like stare at their lips sometimes, but sometimes because like what they're talking, so I look at their mouth.
Right.
And the like, why?
But a lot of people messaged in with eye contact and also with handshake.
So this is my thing with handshake. First of all, do men shake hard? Like, is that a thing that you're learned as a man?
You're literally taught that as a kid. That like a firm handshake is a sign that you're a trustworthy man, and that a weak handshake shows that there's some, you're hiding something.
See,
or
when
that
someone
you're untrustworthy.
Squeezes my hand when I shake their hand, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I think it's so weird. No one, I obviously don't want to have like a limp fish handshake, but I just kind of have like a nice handshake.
Yeah, moderate firmness.
Yeah, because when someone squeezes, I'm like, Are you trying to, do you need help? Like, what's going on? Also, I have very clammy hands. My hands are always clammy. So I really try to avoid handshakes at all times. I'll do a hug. I say, get in here, boss. Get in here, my future boss.
Yeah, handshakes now. I mean, handshakes, there's been a lot of evolution around handshakes as a result of COVID.
There's, you know, the pound. But yeah, well, let me feel your handshake. Let me feel.
Well, when you think about it, it's awkward. Let's do a natural handshake. Hi, my name is Dez.
Nice to meet you.
Moderate firmness.
And I go like a little lighter.
You went a little lighter, yeah.
Yeah, but it's because I like when you dominate me.
But I'm not, when I shake a woman's hand, I'm not trying to like squeeze the shit out of their hand.
So if I was a man, how would you shake it?
Well, I don't want to hurt you.
Do you want to shake Chris's hand?
I don't know. There's just way more handshaking than necessary on an audio format.
I do think that's interesting. But the thing is, I don't want to like make them uncomfortable. But I guess that's the idea. Yeah.
Because she's not saying shake everyone's hand like that. She's talking about people who are in a position of authority that perhaps, you know, she wants to try to level the playing field. But yeah, I honestly left this in just because like so many people message in about eye contact and about handshaking.
Do people like, is weak handshakes like do you know men that have weak
handshakes?
Honestly,
I don't care about firm handshakes, but a weak handshake is weird to me. I have to be honest, when somebody shakes my hand, like with a very limp hand, I go like, what's going on? Like you don't have the energy to put an effort into this handshake. Not with a woman, but like with a man. If a man gives me like a wet fish handshake, I just think there's something strange. I think you should make eye contact when you shake somebody's hand.
Yeah, it's like taking a shot.
Right, yeah. I mean,
you know what I also think is weird? When someone shakes your hand and then they take their middle finger and they like tickle you. Oh, yeah.
That's just dumb. I was thinking of that a second ago.
That's weird for me.
That is. Well, that's disgusting. It's off-putting. It's like ticklish, and it's honestly, it's assault.
It's assault. For sure.
At best, it's harassment.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. Chris, let's take one or two more before we go.
Hey, Hannah Dez. My power move is that I'm 5'1", and every time I give someone a hug, I always go for the over-the-shoulder hug so that the person I'm hugging has to bend down to give me a hug, but I still feel like I'm dominating them because I got the over-the-shoulder hug.
So,
I don't know if that counts as a power move, but that's mine. Love you guys.
So like a toddler, you're like, nah, and you put your hands up and you and well, the person has to lean down.
The reason why I think this is so funny is because, whatever, I'm 6'3", and when you're taking selfies with people,
yeah,
sometimes shorter men will go for my shoulder. Because the natural thing would be you would go for the lower, you know, because people tend to put their arm around you when you're going for the selfie, right?
Yeah.
So the natural thing would be you go on the lower side because I'm taller than you, but sometimes people go for the higher one. And I always think it's weird because I'm like, okay, this is uncomfortable that I have to... You know, you're like hanging, because what happens is they're like hanging off you.
Yeah, and you have to kind of arch down. I do think sometimes definitely you have weird hugging chemistry with people where you like you go in and like the hug is awkward because their hug doesn't like match your pattern of hug. I think I always do one up, one down.
Yeah.
I do one up, one down.
It's well, because a lot of times with hugging these days, you know, it's like a one hand pull in hug.
Yeah.
So it's not as much of an issue. But I think this is cute.
Get confused. Like
5'1", make them come down.
We're doing the kiss or not. But I do know when you're younger, like if you see a guy, you put both your hands up and you're like, hi, and you wrap your hands around his neck and you're like, hi, hug. And then, yeah, there's a lot of different techniques that can go wrong.
A hugging technique. We have to do an episode on hugging technique.
Yeah, what is your hugging technique and what's correct?
What's your go-to hug? Who do you hug? What's the...
Like if you're a lefty, every time you hug, do you like... I've almost made out with so many people because of a bad hug.
Do left-handed people feel hard done by that a handshake is always with the right hand? Worse than that, I was told for years that like shaking with your left hand was like disrespectful because in certain cultures, people used to wipe their ass with their left hand. Did you ever hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's wiping their ass with their left hand?
I don't know. It's like,
because when I got in my skiing accident and I couldn't use my right hand, it was so difficult to wipe my ass with my left hand because like you don't know the pattern. Like it's a wholly different, you know, perspective. And then your arms, like, it's really difficult to wipe lefty.
Yeah.
Try it tonight if you're bored.
Like, even, I'm so conditioned by whatever this thing that I was taught about shaking with your left hand that, like, if I'm, like, holding something with my right hand and I see somebody I know and I put up my left because I have no other option, I feel like, am I disrespecting this person? But in actual fact, if you meet a left-handed person and you shake with your left hand, you're really respecting the fact that most of their lives they've had to shake with their weaker hand.
A lot of things to think about.
It's really not fair for the lefties, honestly. What was this?
What did she say, this girl?
What happened?
Where are we? She was the over the shoulder.
Oh, over the shoulder. Yeah, because we were back on the handshake.
Yeah, I was like, did we talk about this already?
No, because it was the left hand. Because we were talking about the left hand thing, you know, about, anyway, it's all good.
Hi, Hannah and Dez. I love the pod. Anyway, my power move is that I could talk about pretty much anything in sports for 5 to 10 minutes and sound knowledgeable and legit. I'm a woman in STEM, so most of my coworkers are male. Mm-hmm. So having just like enough working sports knowledge to hold a conversation at networking events, conferences, even meetings is like huge.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it's right, but I think it makes them respect me more. Mm-hmm. Got to do what you got to do out here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my power move, and I'm going to keep using it. I swear to God, it makes them remember me too. It's like a little bit flirtatious also, so I'm just using my powers as a woman in STEM for my benefit, I guess. Yeah, saying it out loud sounds a little weird, but anyway, yeah, sports knowledge is my power move. Thanks.
No, it's valid. What annoys me as someone who knows sports is how, like, they always assume you don't know. So sometimes, like, they'll mansplain to you and you're like, I know what a triple-double is. But I would do this thing where, yeah, if you want to connect with the guy, you just be like, oh, did you play sports? And he'd be like, yeah, I played baseball in high school. And you go like, can I guess your position? And then you'll be like, first base. And he'd be like, I don't play first base. And like, you show that you're like, you know what's going on. It's pretty, men are simple creatures.
Well, I mean, outside of this, I would think that this is actually a power move that you use a lot because you know a lot about sports.
I know. I do. I just feel like it's a common ground that you can talk to a guy about, and he gets a little less like, she doesn't get it or whatever. You just feel a little more like, we're on the same page, we're good, you can calm down kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't even know if this is like a power move as much as it's like
social strategy.
Yeah, a social strategy.
And I do think for the girls who are like, Hannah, like, I don't know about sports, fuck, what do I do? I would argue, like, you really just have to, it's hard if you like have never seen basketball before, but like, I'll like not follow the Knicks at all. And then all I have to do is watch one game with someone who knows what's going on. I ask like, who's the top players? Who's having trouble this year? Who are we excited about? And you get the drama and you get the tea, and then you just ask people about it, like full circle, be like, oh, are we mad that, you know, they traded this guy? And you immediately sound like you know what's going on and you care.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good skill for dating for the men.
For sure.
But it's also good to just have an arsenal of things that can make people comfortable in conversations.
And like Chris, for example, you're a guy, if you're dating women, you need to know about Sephora. You need to know what the Sephora sale is. You need to know like what highlighters we're using, what lip stain is working.
I'm going to go do some field research. Good. I'll show up to Sephora.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because are women as receptive to men knowing about makeup?
No, it means someone cooked there. Do you know what that means?
Like that they learned from somebody else.
Yes.
Yes. It's like, it's the smell of fucking piss. So from a dog.
There was this thing going around on TikTok where they ask men, where do I put conditioner in my hair?
Oh, right.
Do you know?
Well, no, not where women do.
So you put it at the ends of the hair.
Oh, right.
Because if you put it at the top, it's too oily. And if a guy knows that, you're like, well, he had to learn it from his ex-girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah. Des, as we know, has never been with anyone before me. So that's why he succeeded in that.
And as Hannah's listeners know, she doesn't like sex in the shower. So we don't spend a ton of time in the shower together. I haven't had a chance to learn about where how she gets rid of her split ends. How do you know about split ends, Des?
How do you know about split ends?
No, just kidding.
But then it's a thin line to lose-lose, because like, you get mad if a guy knows too much, but then if he doesn't know anything, you're like, I don't want to fucking teach him this. Like, the glass girl should have taught him.
Yeah. And the great thing about us is that neither of us, if we got divorced and you met somebody else or I met somebody else, neither of us have cooked. There won't be any cooking evidence left in our apartment. Yeah, there'll just be a large Uber Eats delivery guy. Be like, an Uber Eats delivery guy. Be like, you're new. All right, well, you leave it there, because actually the very last one was actually something that you brought up earlier about, can you repeat that? You know, when people say something bad. So it's been well covered. A fine episode. Power moves. Powering into 2024.
Strong. Yeah, let's power into the new year. We love our little gigglers.
I'm in Tempe this weekend. The dialers came out, by the way, for my show in Chicago. I had two dialers in the front row. It was great. So shout out to them. They know who they are. 25 years. They've been together since they're 18. So cute. 7 years together at 18. And I tried to pressurize them to actually get engaged on stage for the viral. So I was like, come on, I need the content. So, but they were very cool.
Really funny.
And it was fun to watch them laugh, and they were in the front row. So I'll be in Tempe this weekend.
Also, I think we're eventually going to do an episode of updates, like whatever you guys have submitted, letting us know how it's going or that kind of
thing.
I mean,
we were thinking about doing that next week.
Yeah, we might do it next week.
We thought about doing it this week, but we were nervous that people wouldn't have time to like, or that they wouldn't see the prompt. Mm-hmm. So to be honest with you, next week is going to be that. So you don't have to wait for the prompt this week, because they all just list up. So if you're a dialer and something has been submitted before and used, please give us an update, but also obviously give us the detail of the prompt that
came
through.
And we'll put the link in the description for you to submit it. And I'll also post it on Monday like I normally do.
Yes. But the one good news about this is that they had to have used it before.
Yes.
So at least they'll know what to do.
Know how it works.
Yeah. So
because sometimes we had follow-up questions, or we just want to know how you're doing.
Yeah, it's just we want to establish a more of a relationship with everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
An intimate relationship.
And also my special of Des Bishop of all people will be out probably January 14th. I haven't picked the actual day.
Oh my God, so
but let's
exciting.
Just say January 14th for now. Next week I'll have the actual date.
And not to be good about me, but I am the executive producer. It comes up at the end.
Hannah's the executive producer.
So
very excited.
That was a power move on my part.
She had some input. She had some input.
I was like, I need to be executive, and that is called.
No, you were involved in the edit. Mm-hmm. You made some editing decisions.
And the production.
The fact that we start with crowd work is actually a note that came from you.
Thank you.
So there you go. So that'll be out soon.
I'm so excited.
Chris, anything to promote?
Just burner phone all day. Oh, not just burner phone. I'm sorry. Giggly Squad.
Giggly and Burner.
Have you been seeing other podcasts? Somebody has cooked on these mics.
Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Bye.